The idea is to track your own complicity. And that's one beginning of an answer, a very deep one, I think, to the question about anti-Semitism. These boycotts cannot be done out of hatred, really. If the whole idea is for us to track our own complicity, let's say in the Israeli occupation, because this is where we can actually make a difference, this is where actually our voice might be heard, then this whole thing starts with our own complicity and understanding it. So it's not about all those Jews and what they do. It's what I do as an investor, as a consumer, as a citizen, as a person in this world who is part of this network.
That was an excerpt from a talk by Israeli feminist researcher, scholar, and activist Dalit Baum, who spoke on June 17th at Tabor Space in Southeast Portland. This has been One Land, Many Voices, which airs on the fourth Friday of every month at 9 a.m. on KBOO Portland, your community radio. And now, this.
KBOO is getting ready for our annual book and record sale. Yay! This is a great time to clean out those closets and shelves and turn your old books, records, and CDs into cash for community radio. Bring them to KBOO Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. We're accepting donations of books, vinyl records, CDs, and DVDs through Wednesday, August 10th. The sale will be held in mid-August. Stay tuned for details. Please, no home-recorded cassettes, VHS tapes, or mold. If you have questions or want to arrange for a pickup of donations, please email Ani at volunteer@kbu.org or phone her at 503-231-8032, extension 213.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Green Day's American Idiot, produced by Triangle Productions. Don't wanna be an American idiot. The two-time Tony Award-winning hit follows Johnny, Toonie, and Will as they flee the constraints of their hometown for the thrills of the city life in this energy-fueled rock opera. That's American Idiot, June 9th through July 2nd at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. One nation controlled by the media. Information age of hysteria. It's going out to idiot America.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, June 24th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real radio for real people at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Well, the air is full of innumerable items this morning. It's glittery with news, but we have a little weather to go to first today. There is a slight chance of showers, mainly this morning, clearing to reveal partly sunny skies full of glittery news falling all over the place. Highs around 69 and west winds 6 to 8. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows around 56 and light winds. For tomorrow, for Saturday, mostly sunny, highs near 78 and mid-size wind. Saturday night, mostly clear, lows around 58. turn for Sunday, sunny skies, highs near 83, and not much wind to speak of. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 58, bringing us full circle to Monday morning once again. And that said, we are going to be speaking shortly with Steve Horn with the Smog Blog, who is a frequent guest, generous with his time, and research that really defies all categorization. I want to encourage listeners to spread this news around, because that is about the only way that it is going to get out. Mainstream media, mass media, pointedly avoids talking about this. It's right there for them to pick up. And they avoid it like the plague. It's up to us to get this out, if anybody is going to do it. You see, mass media gives no quarter to listeners. It's the truth, and that's it. But we question everything, and we would really like to have listeners question mass media and spread this around. I want to first note, of course, that as the entire world knows, markets crashing left and right. Brexit, the UK voted to leave the EU. This was a referendum of historic proportions. United Kingdom voted to leave the European Union after 43 years in vote 52 to 48. Usually news from faraway places gets left in the hopper, where stories languish until they eventually wind up on the website. But international news takes the forefront today at Cabo to a certain degree. Great Britain, of course, Brexit won the vote. The world markets are reeling. David Cameron also is reeling. He's throwing in his dish towel, picking up his golf sticks, and leaving possibly via his corner office window, forgotten in the media frenzy. TEPCO in Japan told employees not to use the word meltdown under pressure from the Japanese government. Just don't call it meltdown. Call it a banana. Yes, banana, but not meltdown. Okay. The Department of Homeland Security analyst. A Department of Homeland Security analyst brought, get this, are you ready? He brought a gun, a knife, pepper spray, and handcuffs to work. This was considered, I use this word lightly, plot. Maybe we could call it a meltdown or even a banana, to attack senior federal officials. Investigators believed that he was plotting to attack Department of Homeland officials. Investigators trying to find out exactly what the staff member was up to. Jonathan Weeke was an analyst there. He was a former Army medic. He was caught carrying all of this stuff, as well as an infrared camera, I hope I mentioned that, into his workplace. Investigators say that he was conspiring with another to commit workplace violence. And how? I'll say. That said, a judge yesterday found that the sole officer charged with murder in the death of Freddie Gray was not guilty of all counts. Bad enough that this happened, but it sets a precedent. It's very likely that for now and nevermore, police officers have been committing murder and mayhem against African-American people and people of color in general. They'll go walk away scot-free after killing people. This is just phenomenal. We've got other news here. I'll try to get that up on the website. It's far more important right now to talk with Steve Horn, because the amount of investigation that goes into these stories is just phenomenal. There's more apparently too. Steve, good morning. Thank you for being with us.
Good to be back on. Thanks for having me, Chris.
Well, once again, it's the IOGCC, public lands, and other of these issues. In a ruling on the Obama administration's proposed regulations, actually, of fracking on public land, the U.S. District Court for Wyoming, this is Judge Scott Squaddle. Can you talk a little bit about what happened in this ruling and the tangled threads here?
Sure. Well, so this was, these were regulations that were proposed back in March of 2013 by the Obama administration, kind of seen as a hallmark of Obama's actions on fracking, which have been pretty meek. This was his first big move to do pretty much anything. One of his first big moves to do anything about fracking. The other one was a study that his Department of Energy did in his first term. But for his second term, this is the biggest thing that he really was going to do on fracking. That was have regulations on public lands, which I think as listeners might know, there are a lack of regulations, we'll put it nicely, private lands because of the Halliburton loophole in the Energy Policy Act 2005, which exempts the industry from EPA enforcement of the Safe Drinking Water Act and other key environmental laws, that one being the main one. And so this was a push by his Bureau of Land Management of the Department of Interior to do an end round around that, and at least on public lands have regulations, and it wove its way through, I guess, courts because it was challenged right away by the industry. No, I wouldn't say right away. Within a year, it was once because those were the proposed rules, and so a year later, the final version of them came out after public comment, and that's when the lawsuits began. That's when the story really got interesting, as far as I saw it, because I was at the Interstate Oil and Gas Compact Commission's meeting back in 2014 when they were talking about what they were going to do about this. The IOGCC, or Interstate Oil and Gas Compact Commission, is a collective of the head regulators of oil and gas in the states, plus lobbyists, plus executives, all get together twice a year and communicate year-round to talk about oil and gas issues. It's basically...
And people think that ALEC is the only, the American Legislative Exchange Council is the only one that writes laws and then legislators
right.
pass them. But there's it's happening here too.
It absolutely is. It doesn't even have to read. This is different in that it doesn't even have to go to state legislators or legislatures. This is basically goes way before that. This is at the regulatory level. So before anything even ends up in a state legislature, they're already captured by the industry, and something that's been around for a long time since 1935, really became much more of a lobbying vehicle in the 1970s when environmental laws were being written and introduced, and when we had more environmental protections. They were really the counter to that for the oil and gas industry. It was a convenient mechanism they had, and so this is. Look at going to today. At that meeting, they have something called the Resolutions Committee because, like Alex, they do model resolutions, and I was there. So at the committee, I got word that one of the people on the committee, his name is Lynn Helms, he's the head oil and gas regulator of North Dakota. He was going to, from that meeting, one of the takeaways was he was going to contact one of his friends and John Hoeven's office, who's a Republican United States senator. And he was going to contact his chief of staff and legal counsel. His name is Ryan Bernstein. He's going to contact him and talk to him about what they can do to stop it at the congressional level, to stop these proposed regulations by the Obama administration. And so it wasn't just something he said he was going to do. I actually confirmed that he did it. They did an open record. And so you see in the emails, indeed, they were communicating and talking about a plan, and I even got hold of, Bernstein, the chief of staff of John Hoeven, he asked the Congressional Research Service to do a study for him on what, are there any legal mechanisms that Congress can use. CRS, or Congressional Research Service, actually went ahead, did that. I got a copy of it. It's in the story, and it says that this is ordered by them, the Hoeven's office. But they actually said, no, there's nothing Congress can do about this because this is, you know, federal land, this is public lands. Congress can't just turn it into like the state's lands, which is what IODCC wants. So they weren't going to get a congressional resolution out of this. Therefore, and thereafter, IODCC actually got involved. The states that are in IODCC got involved in this lawsuit that is now the lawsuit that they ended up winning. So in 2015, which was just like 6 months later after that meeting that I was at their next meeting, their then chairman, the governor of Utah, Gary Herbert, Republican governor, announced that his state was going to be entering into this lawsuit with other states. And of course, it's kind of symbolic already. People should have maybe been asking some harder questions. Why did he announce this at an IODCC meeting and not at another place? Well, it turns out that IODCC was involved, you know, in the planning and coordination of this lawsuit from the very beginning. And so it wasn't just the states. It was several states. It was Wyoming. It was Utah, Colorado, North Dakota. But it was also the industry that was involved in the lawsuit. It was the Independent Petroleum Association of America, and it was the Western Energy Alliance. They actually were two separate lawsuits originally. They joined into one lawsuit because they were about the same exact thing. That was against the BLM, public lands, regulations of fracking. And so it became one lawsuit, which was also symbolic in that this is exactly how IODCC works to begin with. It merges together industrial and state interests into one thing. And so symbolically, the lawsuits became one. And then fast forwarding to today, or this week, they ended up winning that lawsuit on the grounds that the federal government, the agencies of the executive branch have no say over regulating fracking because of the Energy Policy Act 2005, which is something that Congress decided upon. So the federal, the agencies can't just they can't supersede the dictates of Congress. Congress would have to undo the Energy Policy Act 2005. And that comes full circle because IODCC was the leading